there. Welcome to Music Video Land, another edition of the podcast where we get together with some super good friends, talk about music videos of the week, that kind of stuff. It's all brought to you by, of course, your super good friends at IMVDB, the Internet Music Video Database, which is different from the Internet Clay Tablet Database, which is even larger than the Internet Paper Database. The Paper Music Video Database. I ruined my own joke, and now I'm going to introduce the other people with me on the podcast. Mr. Doug Klinger in Florida. How are you, Doug?
Dude, super good. Dropping packets.
we need all like MC names, and yours should be packet drop or something like that.
Okay, that's cool. We'll work with it.
And Adam Alexander is significantly farther away than Doug from me, and you're coming in just fine. Adam, how are you?
I'm very good this evening.
And Adam is of Fringe Music Fix, of course, our good friends over there who find only the fringiest of things. Like Achy Breaky 2 by Buck 22, which is definitely super fringe. Nobody's talking about it this week.
You did add that one though, right, Adam?
I did add that one, yeah.
take the credit for finding that one buried.
It's a gem.
So we should definitely talk about this because, you know, there are some weeks where the top 10 I'm just super not interested in. There's nothing really interesting on there, and more of the indie stuff is more interesting. But this week I was very entertained by the top 10 as we have it right now. So we might as well start with Achy Breaky 2. Now, for viewers who have not seen this, and this has been a really super busy week for kind of viral stuff or whatever. You got the Olympics, you got the snow apocalypse, which happened in Raleigh and Durham, which I was a part of earlier this week. And you've got things like, also from Durham, the school closing rapping video that is sweeping the country by storm. We'll link to that in the show notes. But, you know, this didn't get, a ton of traction, but it's interesting because it is, of course, Billy Ray Cyrus, Miley Cyrus's dad, and a rapper who I have literally never heard of in my life.
me neither. I can definitely agree.
I know.
Yeah. I've never heard of it. I've never heard of Buck 22 or whatever his name is.
Wait. Adam, have you heard of Buck 22 before this?
No, not at all.
So the best way... So anyway, this is Achy Breaky Heart, of course. In the 90s, this was Billy Ray Cyrus's hit. And now this is sort of a rap remix directed by Ben Griffin and Damon Elliott. But before we discuss this, I just want to say my one observation of this is, like, you know, sometimes when you've had too much to drink and you make poor decisions and, you know, you wake up the next morning and you have the consequences of those poor decisions, this music video feels like everybody is just fucked out of their mind, not necessarily on alcohol, but something, their own inner demons, and everything just seems to have been created in some sort of inky haze.
That's a decent, well, that's definitely probably the situation in which Billy Ray Cyrus signed on to this project. I can definitely get on board with him being in that state. But for Buck 22, this is huge. Jackpot. This is jackpot. Buck 22 is not dropping 4 million views without it being Achy Breaky 2 out of the gate. So for Buck 22 and for Ben Griffin and Damon Elliott as well, I don't think this is such a bad thing. But for Billy Ray Cyrus is an interesting thing, because he could have literally done this with any rapper out there who, like, wanted a music video with 4 million views. Like, I don't think, like, maybe he wouldn't have got the Game to do this with him, but, like, you know, any rapper who was willing to do anything remotely gimmicky would have signed on immediately to this project. So the fact that, you know, Billy Ray Cyrus is like, yeah, let's exploit me for you, Buck 22. like that's basically what he signed on to do, and like and go full tilt with it too, you know. So it's funny, like, he could have done this when Mike Will made it or something like that, like, work with somebody,
or even Patrice Wilson would have signed up for this for sure.
Gosh. at least we've heard of Patrice Wilson, but
right.
Yeah, it's funny because the concept of this video is an entirely different thing, because it starts out, bizarrely enough, with Larry King.
So weird. That's another person. Why? How did they? Okay, continue.
Yeah, this is somebody, another person who doesn't come out on top on this. But anyway, I don't think Larry King really gives a shit. But he's like, trying to tell, first of all, Larry King doesn't really break news when he had a show. So,
and he doesn't have a show now. He just does like Brooklyn Water Bagels. That's Larry King's what he's doing now.
So he has a so he's telling us about this like spaceship. But here's what I seriously do not understand, and maybe one of you could clarify this for me. He says it is hovering over some area. I can't remember what it is. The hometown of Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali.
I have no idea why. I have no idea why he says that. I have no idea. I completely. When he said that, I was just like, all right, so everything he just said was nonsense. Like, it negated the fact that I had comprehended the first part of it. Like, okay, I get what this setup is. And then, I kept expecting to see Muhammad Ali at some point, and he didn't show up.
But he's walking. Billy Ray Cyrus is walking with a. So here's another interesting thing. So Billy Ray Cyrus and this small black child.
Yeah, I just noticed that sequence from the first part.
Are walking in the wilderness, kind of. They get abducted by this thing, but then the black child kind of morphs into Buck 22.
Right, and it's not like he's so. So it would make more sense if that was like maybe this is Billy Ray Cyrus when Achy Breaky Heart was popular. Like Buck 22 might have been that age. But that's just the same Billy Ray Cyrus that we see in the video, which is as far as I can tell Billy Ray Cyrus now. Like he doesn't have like a mullet and a clean shave and a denim shirt on like he would have in when the original Achy Breaky Heart was out there. So like, yeah. So the only thing I could think of that explains why Buck 22 is first a little boy, that is walking alone with grown adult man Billy Ray Cyrus. I can't think of any other link or connection or justification for that. That's all I was able to come up with.
And it sounded like you had some sort of explanation.
Oh, well, first of all, I just think Doug's theory is pretty funny. I tried to figure out what it could be, and that's probably what they intended. But also, I have to say that this thing gets even a little bit weirder when they refer to Miley's twerking in her dad's music video. So that was definitely the weirdest point of the whole thing for me.
Not only that, but this video is there's basically, you know, Buck 22 and Billy Ray Cyrus, and then like maybe like 20 extremely scantily clad girls who are you know, twerking basically.
No, literally, they're literally. If there was like a specific dance move, you know, twerking can be a little bit of a blanket statement, but if there was a specific dance move that you were to call twerking, you know, and get down to a scientific level, they do that, you know, like
yeah.
You know what I mean? So like they're, yeah, and they're wearing like stickers. Like that's about the extent of their outfit.
Yeah, and so but then, yeah, I was wondering the whole, you know, up until that point if they were gonna go there, and he did, but then Billy Cyrus just like looks in the camera and is like wrecking ball, like he
yeah.
There's so much that I want to know about how this was made that it's just. If we could get Ben Griffin and Damon Elliott here to talk to us and just explain some like very basic concept details about what is going on, then I think that would be advantageous. But I mean, it's Billy Ray Cyrus.
Gonna say it is little moments like that that like the fact that he's doing that and bringing, you know, it's people like they're like, oh look, Billy Ray Cyrus is this thing, and he talks about Miley twerking in this music video. Like I think that ended up ultimately being. Like adding to the reach of this video. I mean, this is a pretty popular video this week. You know, this is at the level. You know, this is at like 5 million views or something like that. That's very popular for a music video. And there's a YouTube video that came out this week that doesn't even have 1 million views yet. So, you know,
talk about that one.
Interestingly enough, this has about a third right now of the views of the original "Achy Breaky Heart" on Vivo.
That is interesting.
It's catching up.
Yeah, well, I guess that makes sense. I remember, this is dumb that I'm going to tell this story, but I'm doing
it. I can already tell it is, yes.
I remember when I was my biggest memory of the original Achy Breaking Heart, and I think we should all talk about what our biggest memory of that was, is that he went on America's Funniest Home Videos and performed that song. Like, I don't know why. And it was just, and he just performed it, and then basically they just showed like clips of people falling at weddings while he did it. So like, it's just, that's my, and it's like him and the audience is clapping. That's my memory. Bob Saget era Funniest Home Video. So
wow, that is something that maybe if I can find it, I will put it in the show notes.
That video, yeah, it's gonna be tough. It's gonna be a tough one to find, but if you can, yeah, that's just good. That's about as good as Snoop Dogg winning on The Price is Right.
No, that's much, much better. Especially if there was like, if he's playing Achy Breaky Heart, and they're like, we can't just show music. We gotta do our bread and butter here. We gotta show people getting hit in the nuts. We gotta show people falling dead into their wedding cakes.
That's it.
So this was truly unexpected and bizarre, and it came out, I think, we're recording this on Thursday, February 13th, came out on Tuesday, I believe. And maybe this puts Buck 22 on the map. Like you said, I totally agree he could have done this with pretty much anybody. I don't know if Mike Willmade would have done it, but aren't they estranged right now? Aren't they? They're not talking to each other, Miley and
I don't know. I don't have any idea either. They did Christmas pictures, so if they were, it would have happened recently. I don't know.
Well, if Billy Ray Cyrus looks like he's kind of having fun, I guess. So, there we go. That's the most popular video of the week.
Let me ask you this real quick. Is he making fun of himself, or is he
spiraling out of control?
I think it's that. Okay, good. Yeah, like, he doesn't think he's making fun of himself. He's like, oh, I gotta hit again. Okay.
Sure. No. I think he's... I think he has some sort of self-awareness, but I'm not sure how... So
he's trying to be cool in this video.
Right, there's two parts of having self-awareness or executing this properly. The first is the actual having self-awareness, and second is the having the sort of guiding hand to be able to... And awareness enough of your own image to create something that, you know, is something that's not going to damage your image as well. And I think this is a little damaging...
Mm-hmm.
In the long term. And as far as the music video goes, I mean, Ben Griffin and Damon Elliott definitely delivered. They created something that was like as entertaining, I think, as the song, and definitely added some sexy stuff to it. So they have done their job. They have done a very commendable job. But the people to blame here, I think, are Buck 22 and Billy Ray Cyrus.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, let's talk about our gal, Lily Allen, because she came up with another video. We were all huge fans in 2013, or late 2013, with Heart Out Here for a Bitch. And then here we go with Air Balloon, which is definitely a interesting video. This was actually one of my favorites of the week. What did you guys think of this one?
Well, it's a great video, but it came out last Friday.
Yeah, but we still got to talk about it.
Oh, we still got to talk about it. Definitely.
Yeah,
It will drop out of the list. It will drop out of the list for tomorrow. But yeah, it's definitely worth talking about because we didn't talk about it last week. And it's directed by That Go, which is also friends. Our friends of ours. We got lots of friends. But but anyway, yeah, this is a fun video. It's a friendly video. That's a weird thing to say.
Friendly video. Yeah, it's a friendly video. So I'm gonna say something about this video. I want to know if you guys agree with me. This video looks like it was made in 1998 in a good way.
Yeah, I can see that definitely with it's a clearer image, but definitely has that look and feel to it.
And I think in the style, it just kind of has that fun vibe to it that music videos have, you don't see too much anymore. I mean, they've got the zebra in that, and there's definitely some whimsical elements, but this seems to just have been kind of shot and made in a little bit of like a late 90s
almost like a mode. Spice Girls looking video.
Yeah, exactly. And not, you know, not so much in the, actually, you know, actually the English accent did kind of remind me of Spice Girls era videos. you know, having the English accent in this context. But they're especially the hairdo and
right, like the pigtails. Is that pigtails? Is that what that's called?
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, those you got are it.
Okay, so yeah, that with and that and also I think like the see through kind of sequency top that with like the that you can kind of see through. Nah, I said that twice. the whole her whole kind of outfit and the dangly earrings. It's kind of got that kind of vibe to it for sure. I dig what you mean.
I guess good you were digging it. Yeah, I think that there's the weird part about this is so she's in a field and this kind of really I don't know where they shot this. It was obviously somewhere not in the United States because it is beautiful and sunny there right now.
Because it's beautiful.
And it definitely made me like pine for summer. But she's kind of in a field, and you know there's some interesting camera movements there. But then there's like four dudes that are just hanging around, and they're not like attractive dudes at all. She's just kind of hanging out on a couch in the middle of a field with these like guys who are kind of slouching around and hanging out. I want to know who these people are. I do not know.
And there's also butterflies.
Got butterflies, got a zebra.
Yeah, it kind of gets more supernatural as it progresses too, eh? We had like giant mushrooms that grow behind her.
Yeah, that was an interesting and fun sequence.
And then it gets totally awesome when she kind of ascends into space.
I forgot about that.
That's the coolest part. That was the coolest
part. So, wait, hold on. Now, this music video has one of the weirdest non sequiturs of I think of this year so far. It's because as you mentioned, Adam, she's in space, but then a giant stone crucifix comes flying in.
And
like the beginning of like a you know Star Wars A New Hope style, you know, with the ship that goes flying by. One of the strangest things I've seen in a music video this year, I've tried to kind of come up with an explanation for it, but I have none.
Yeah, it has no relevancy to the lyrics, the song, the rest of the video, Lily Allen as an artist. I don't know. You're right. It's a very strange ending.
Maybe it's related to Shazam, because right when that happens, the music says Shazam for more. So maybe it's it plays into Shazam.
Now that is something that I get so angry when I see that, because it's not like one of those YouTube pop-ups. That's there on the video. They screwed up. They fucked up the embed with their fucking Shazam message all over.
Oh, and you know that Noel Paul and you know that Go didn't put that in there.
Oh God,
so
no.
They said they delivered the video, and before wherever this was posted, before it was posted to to Lily Allen's YouTube account, because she's not on Vivo. They put that shit on there. They like put it in an editing program and then just put that up and then re-rendered.
There is no director out there anywhere, I guarantee you, that is like, you know what this music video needs? A Shazam logo.
No, but like even like the execution of it, even if it's like, all right, look, you know what, like Shazam is paying us money, we didn't work. You know, you don't have to work it into the video. They're just gonna, you know, they're gonna put it over the embed. Can you put this in the edit? Like, I don't even think, and I don't know for sure, obviously, I'm just speculating, but I don't even think they're gonna have them do that. I think that happens outside of the people who created the actual video. So,
which is a shame, because we need a clean copy. And that's like having a music video where the only copy of it has like pop-up video bullshit all over it.
Right. right. No, it's a good comparison. No, it works.
Yeah.
So I'd rather them work it into the concept, actually. So, or not. I don't know what I'd rather. I don't think I have a rather.
But aside from it being just sort of aesthetically non-pleasing, that is like the on the very bottom of the list of situations that you need Shazam for. You've already got the title of the video. What are you looking? You're watching a music video and you're like, well, what the hell is this? I guess I could look at like the title of it, or I could move
my eyes an inch downward, or you know what? Let me pull out my phone, open up Shazam, and like let this magically do it for me. Like,
okay, but So have you guys actually ever Shazammed a music video? What happens when you
I've never Shazammed a music video, but I've Shazammed songs before. It works.
I know what that does. But is it, like you said, it's got to do more than just bring the title, the artist and the title up, right?
No, I think that people, they're just recommending that you bring out your phone and Shazam the sound that you're hearing. So I don't think you're Shazamming the video, you know what I mean? Like,
wait,
you're just...
What's the Shazam for more what? More exactly, really.
Yeah, you have a point, Adam. They do say Shazam for more. Maybe there's, like, other content. Because I do know Shazam has moved into, like, the... Yeah, Shazam this for like a prize or whatever, you know.
All right, so maybe there's more. Maybe you win a crucifix.
Well, we gotta find out. Maybe I'll Shazam it for more later. I'll report back.
This is the name of the podcast. Shazam for more.
Maybe you win a giant stone crucifix
that flies through the sky. Fingers crossed. That's worth it. That's worth it.
Oh man. So wait. I keep forgetting if you guys are U2 fans or not. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Adam, you don't seem like a U2 fan to me.
Out of, like, video streaming websites?
No, U2.
Oh, U2. Oh, no.
What do you think of them as a video streaming website, though? They're terrible. I don't hate U2, but I wouldn't call myself, like, a big U2 fan, no.
So as the only U2 fan, I feel like I should mention this video because this is Mark Romanek video. We had some heavy hitters this week. We had Michel Gondry, which we'll talk about soon, and we also had Mr. Mark Romanek, whose last video was Picasso Baby by Jay-Z, and then we get this invisible thing. And for American fans or anybody else in other countries that watch the Super Bowl, there was a little kind of preview of this video during the Super Bowl, and it is a live performance video of U2 playing their new song Invisible, and it is what it is. It's a live performance video,
and it's a cool live performance.
It's cool.
It's not just them, like, you know, on a stage performing the song, you know, like Thank You Wisconsin. There's some stagecraft.
Well, I think that the thing that people, for anybody who's like a non U2 fan, I know there's a lot of people out there, and I definitely understand that. But I think it's really important from like a live performance historical standpoint to like acknowledge the fact that U2 like pioneered so many things of, you know, about live performances that are kind of standard things now. They've really pushed the limits of live performance since pretty much, you know, like the late 80s, from around the time of the Joshua Tree. I mean, they did things, you know, throughout the 90s and into the 2000s, which like nobody had done before. And, you know, I think they're one of the best, you know, live bands, not from, you know, performance standpoint, from a technical standpoint, that have ever been around. So to do a live performance video, this whole wheel thing that he has, that Bono has been around since maybe like 2009.
I even knew about that thing.
Yeah, that's and that was used in their which was a ridiculous tour. I went to it in Tampa. I can't remember the name of the tour. I think it was the not the Vertigo tour, the No Line on Horizon tour, whatever it was called. But yeah, so he's got that, and there's kind of like some interesting kind of animations behind them. But, you know, it's a pretty standard, you know, black and white performance video. So there we go.
It's not the type of music video you need Mark Romanek to direct.
Anybody
who we've ever talked about could direct this video, and it would come out the exact same way. Or maybe better.
Probably, yeah. I mean, when U2 like does like a concert video, like you like know who's directed it and stuff. They're kind of big on that. I remember the coolest concert video I've ever seen was by U2. I saw it in the IMAX. They did a 3D concert video, which was not gimmicky at all. It was ridiculously awesome. So they're really good at doing these kind of concert videos. So yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, I mean, I think Mark Romanek and I think U2, like, if they were to pour themselves into a project for like, you know, like most people have to do for music videos, like most music video directors are typically doing, they would come out with something that's a lot more spectacular than this. This is like a blip on the radar for Mark Romanek and U2. I feel like this music video, this is them. They're like, this is them on autopilot.
Yeah, and U2 has really kind of they've put themselves on autopilot a little bit in terms of music videos for. for No Line on the Horizon, their last album, they had a few music videos, didn't really do anything crazy. You know, they used to take a little bit more stock in music videos. They worked with Jonas Åkerlund a lot, Murat Avis, and of course Anton Corbin, their longtime photographer. But and they've got some pretty, you know, famous music videos, like, you know, With or Without You, which was actually the first music video we actually ever added to the database, and a few others. But yeah, it's a little bit of a boring video, but pretty solid one. And it had the Super Bowl bump there. They you know, Bono does a thing with Project Red, and for 24 hours you could get the single Invisible off iTunes for free. So remember when U2 did the iPod ad commercials?
Yeah, yeah. And they were the first ones where, like, they'd show their faces, right? Do you remember? Like, they used to always just obscured, and then they showed their face.
They're kind of silhouetted. They had their own iPod. Nobody else has ever had their own iPod. They've had a really close relationship with Apple, so that's where that comes from. But anyway, I'm going to shut up about U2. Nobody gives a shit, but it's a good video. Thank you, Mark Romanek.
Thanks, Marky. Mark. Did you guys like Mind of a Stoner?
I really liked the setup. I was kind of getting excited. Like, Topanga came out, and it had a good. I thought it was going to be a real weird kind of off the wall video all the way through, but yeah, after the initial setup, it kind of lost.
I'm impressed that their days are starting so early. Because these guys are also dressed to the nines. Like, these guys are all like it's like 7:30 in the morning, and Wiz Khalifa is already like super dressed up, sitting on a public bench halfway through a joint. So, like, you know, he's been up for like 2 hours at this point. And so that's an insane thing. That's an insane thing to me, like, that they're up so early.
Doug's start time is not as early as that.
It's close. I get up around 5, like Wiz. But once these men sleep, because these guys stay up late, I assume.
Feel like they were going for like a Forrest Gump thing here?
I haven't thought of that, but
I'll take.
I think we had our wires crossed for a second.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I don't think I don't know about I don't know necessarily. I don't remember Forrest Gump smoking weed, but I haven't seen that movie in a while.
It's the bench thing. He's on a bench. He's talking to different people throughout the day.
Okay, so yeah, maybe. Yeah. So this is definitely we can agree that this is a music video that where the people in it are not themselves, right? He's talking about losing his job and stuff, sitting on a bench. So he can't. He's not really Machine Gun Kelly. We'll keep doing this every episode.
I would agree with that, definitely.
Where we determine whether or not the person in the music video. Every time now. Every time we watch a rap video, we have to say is or is not.
That is very important. I mean, that is an interesting question that we could address to many of these music videos, such as Achy Breaky 2. that's actually a very interesting question for music videos that I would think we should pose over and over again. I think in this case they're definitely not them.
Definitely not. But we pose to Ellis Ball. Here's a tease. We got an interview coming out tomorrow. We pose it to Ellis Ball about his Big Sean Ashley video, and we get an answer to that. So if you're super curious and to hear from someone else who's not us, it'll get answered tomorrow in an interview. Tomorrow, which is today.
Did you guys catch the product placement here? The Ciroc? The guy's drinking a bottle of whatever the hell Ciroc is on the bus.
I think it's Ciroc.
Ciroc, exactly, yes.
It's I think that's P. Diddy's vodka. P. Diddy says he needs a vodka. And he does.
Is it like it looks like it has some sort of orange flavor?
Yeah, they have flavored. Yeah. Maybe it's Mandarin.
Now, do either of you guys drink vodka? No.
I dabble with the vodkas.
So what do you do with vodka? This whole like this Soshi thing, they've been doing all sorts of like color spots on like vodka and stuff, and I just don't understand it because it's not supposed to taste like anything.
No, but you mix with it. Okay. Usually,
it tastes like shit.
does taste terrible. It's good with orange juice and other things.
Well, this guy, the guy in the video, he just skipped a whole step. He just had got the orange flavored vodka.
Well, that's the thing. That's what's popular now. They put, because like they say vodka doesn't taste like anything. That's but it still tastes like alcohol. Like
yeah, pure alcohol. You drink it just like straight rum, rubbing alcohol.
Right. You drink rum or something, and it tastes like something more than just booze. Like it has like another flavor. I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't drink very often.
So was Topanga only in the opening shot? Because
I didn't watch. That's a bummer.
Wait, what was that on?
I was just agreeing. Yeah, only the opening shot.
But that was that was a funny moment where he comes out and he's like, he's kind of like narrating, and he's like, "Oh shit, is that Topanga?" And he just walks away with like no explanation whatsoever.
Doesn't do anything about it, right? Exactly. It's funny. The Topanga recently made another hip hop appearance as she's in Clapping for the Wrong Reasons, the Childish Gambino short film that he made with Hiro Murai. She's in that playing herself. So weird. She must be a hip hopper.
I guess she is a hip hopper. I never watched Boy Meets World, so I don't really have too much of a connection with her. But
I did. I watched it.
So we should kind of celebrate this week because we had a pretty sweet milestone on the blog. We had a little interview with director Michel Gondry.
That's a pretty big milestone, I'd say. Whenever we ask, any music video directors, like we used to ask this more frequently than we do now, but like, you know, if we'd ask why they got into music video directing or who they look up to, you know, Michel Gondry was always somebody that they would list. It was basically, you know, a given, and that, you know, something that he's done is one of their favorites. He's definitely a music video legend, and he answered a couple of our questions about his Love Letters video by Metronomy this week that came out earlier this week.
Yeah, that was super awesome of him to do, because he actually did quite a bit of press for this music video. Not a ton, but usually directors don't do a lot, and he did like a Google Hangout with Adam Buxton and the guy from Metronomy.
It was interesting. It was an hour long too. I wasn't sure how long it was going to be. My guess was, my over under in my head was like 15 minutes, but they were on there for a good hour. And it was really interesting. Buxton's water bottle is in frame in front of him the whole time. So that's a weird thing that I noticed and then mentioned here in this podcast.
Got to get that water. And so this one was, Doug, like you mentioned in the interview/article, it's a kind of a classic Gondry style, hand-painted, kind of handmade set. It's like an octagonal set that they're in, and they kind of view it through different angles and stuff like that. Very classic Michel Gondry take on something. And the track is awesome. I actually haven't really heard a lot of Metronomy, and Love Letters is a really interesting song, and I like this video a lot. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I like the way that it builds. It's kind of got like, you know, it's not until the very, like, basically the concept is these handmade sets are layered, and there's windows in each set and like stuff behind that set, like different parts of the hexagonal set kind of are for different pictures, and it's not really revealed like where everything fits in until the very end. Like they keep moving around and showing you what's in the windows, but there's like this final moment near the end of the video where they kind of show you the perfect perspective on each different scene that's painted on these set pieces. And and once they're kind of fully revealed, they also like have like some audio that accompanies those scenes, and that kind of like really hammers home like this is like that final piece. And I was really interested by like how it was able to build like that. Don't just show you right away like here's what this full set thing looks like. When you look at it in the right way, it kind of like builds and surrounds around them as they perform the song. And it's not a surprise that Metronomy was able to work with a director like Michel Gondry. I mean, they've worked with Adam, if you're not really familiar with, it's definitely worth looking at all of their previous music videos. They've worked with some really big names, and the videos are fantastic. We talked a few episodes ago about their they just came out with a video not too long ago for the song Aquarius. I'm Aquarius. Yeah, that it just came out at the end of 2013, but all the way back to their A Thing for Me from 2008, directed by Megaforce, all the way up to this video now, is they've all been really great stuff. You know, they work with Dave Wilson and some really big names. So yeah, watch them all.
Yeah, this video was great. I loved it too. There's something about the spirit of Gondry's videos that I really like. That creative, almost like a DIY approach to everything that he does. And it kind of, what I always take from it is that it kind of makes me feel like I could just, like, you know, create things even if I'm not like real awesome at it. It's just about doing it, kind of. And this again kind of pushes that forward. That do-it-yourself kind of art. How's that feel to it, that home-crafted stuff?
Yeah, it's no surprise that, like, when I say other directors that we've talked to in the past all, like, look to Gondry as, like, an inspiration, it's not just because he's such a great director. I mean, there are other great directors from that time, but not everybody lists them like they do Gondry. And I think part of what makes people love Gondry is it is inspirational. Like, you feel like you watch it and you're like, it makes you want to do stuff sometimes. Like, I definitely get that feeling too. And he actually like made a movie that's kind of that he directed Be Kind Rewind with Jack Black and Mos Def, and it's kind of got that same vibe to it, where they're remaking these Hollywood films in this very Gondry way, this very like intentionally hands-on way, and so handmade way, and so definitely it's got, there's like a Gondry spirit that exists regardless of what the video is, and it definitely exists in this one as well.
It was also fun having Michel Gondry's answers to our question on the blog, which is something we were like, oh man, if we can get Michel Gondry on the blog here, that'll be sweet.
Yeah, it puts him he's on the list now, and they, you know, the answers are pretty quick. It's a quick read, but he's definitely like they really do provide a lot of insight to the video, and they also are, you know, he's got a personality. You know, he's done other interviews and stuff, and he's got a personality that comes through, and I feel like they do come through in these answers as well. So it's a really good interview that'll definitely be in the show notes. You guys should check it out.
So we've got a few other ones that we should mention here, and the one that I've seen a lot of chatter about is this. I'm not sure how you pronounce their name. It's Sohn, Hohn, and the music video or the song is Artifice, directed by Mr. Tom Glunt. And I think of all the slowest motion music videos out there, this one made this baby the slowest motion. Doug, you were talking about this video a little bit. Tell us a little bit about this one.
Yeah, it's a very slow motion video, and it's a one shot video. It features like people kind of running through the rain, kind of halfway through the video. The artist is kind of sitting amongst all this. It's kind of a chaotic scene, as you know, any running in the rain scenes would be chaotic, but what really drew me to this video was just like the, like something about it, it like it was the first one of videos I've seen, the first video I've ever remember seeing where like I was so interested in how like rain was looking, and like just something so simple like that really like kind of stuck out to me as like being so fascinating looking in this video, and that's kind of what drew me to this one. And definitely watch the Vimeo embed, by the way, which is the one we have at the top. They're not the same file. The Vivo does not currently have the correct file up there. I saw Tom mentioning that today, that they have a rough cut up on Vimeo.
I do want to add one other little subtlety that I like about this video is the lights. The lights are all sort of synchronized to go with the beat of the track, even right down to the one guy's cell phone. He's taking pictures on his cell phone, and the flash goes off with the beat of the song too, which was just a little touch that I really liked.
I wonder how you pull that off, because this is one of those videos where it's like, if you want to spend literally the least amount of time like actually rolling the camera, this is like, how long did this take in real life? Like 10 seconds,
right? The actual.
and then you're done. It's a really, because this is super super slow. But I did not know that Vimeo, because I saw Tom said on Twitter he didn't he take his Vimeo embed down though.
Hold on a sec. No, the Vimeo embed is The Vimeo embed is correct. I might have said it, but the Vivo one is not. And what he was saying is they told him that they would replace they'd replace the file for him if he reached a certain number of views on the video. If the video got a certain number of views, they'd go in there and replace the file. So I guess maybe we should be directing you to YouTube.
Yeah, I was gonna say what is the number of videos? Because this is a fantastic video. It's not gathering super amount of views, only 22K between the Vimeo and YouTube right now.
Yeah, and where is that mostly generated from?
YouTube.
Okay, it's a high number. He's got to keep up this rate for 2 weeks, and they'll change it. So watch the Vimeo one first. So you see how awesome, because it's like it's a lot with the rain effects. There's definitely some post production, a lot in this video, in the rain effects. Like some of that is definitely actually happening, but that I'm sure it was accentuated in post, and then I'm sure that the lights probably were done in post as well.
Yeah, they have to be.
Yeah, there's no other way. I don't think you can coordinate that. But that's how do you get a rough cut up on Vimeo? Don't the artists or the directors or production companies upload? Maybe it was just a mistake.
I'm sure it was just a mistake. A rough cut might be. It's not like it's cut like this scene here. Like stuff is completely missing. Like I think they just like tightened up the effects even further in the other cut. I don't think it was like it didn't look like a Daniel's Tenacious D video or anything like that. But but it does. He says that like the rain in the Vimeo one is different than YouTube version, so it's unfortunate, but so yeah, watch the cool version first and then go throw a YouTube one so we can get that new file up there.
It's an interesting restriction to put on it.
Yeah. And it's so backwards too. It's like, let's funnel everyone in here this video so that I can get the one that I want people to see up there. Like it's such a backwards thing, but at the same time, if it means that like for this next for the first few weeks to have the, I mean, you're not going to get it changed otherwise, so you might as well try. But it sucks.
So
they're picky.
So who picked this the front bottoms backflip video?
me. Wait, you don't love this video, Adam?
You got to defend it, Doug. You got to work.
You guys don't love this fucking video? I thought this was. I thought Adam was gonna eat this thing up. I fucking love this video. You guys hate it?
I didn't hate it. I don't usually watch a lot of videos during the week. For anybody who's super interested in my video watching habit, I usually, watch them on Thursday. And this was the first one I fired up because it happened to be on the homepage, and I was like, "What the fuck is this?" Because It is very funny in a very goofy way.
It's super goofy. It's definitely like almost like it's something that we would make with the fucking deaths happening with balloon people and stuff like that. It was silly. It's got the guy, and I fucking hate that I even know this. The guy that dies second with the glasses. He's on a TV show called Impractical Jokers that my friends made me watch, and I didn't even like, but I was like, oh, it's that guy. And I was excited about I was excited about that. I thought this was really funny.
There's a lot of, I'm typically drawn to darker videos that like when a video is going to make me genuinely laugh.
And this one, I was just like really laughing, just like the way the band plays it. And did you guys watch all the way to the end? Because yeah. I laughed really hard when the guy was like so the concept of this video is they just like the band kills three people and like just laughs about it and nobody really seems to give a shit and the deaths aren't violent because it just like roughly cuts like suddenly the person's just a balloon of that person wearing the same clothes and then like to show that it's dead it's just like a deflated balloon person. Or like whatever blow up person, and so anyway, the last guy they kill him by like pouring a bunch of nuts on his slice of pizza, and he's got a giant button on that just says, "I have a peanut allergy." So like that's what they do, like the way they kill people is just so absurd. Like
then he has like a big fake EpiPen, and they steal it, and they're pretending to give each other like EpiPen injections. And
but it's just so stupid. Like the way it's so dumb. Like it's EpiPen that is just clearly a Sharpie with a post-it note wrapped around it that says EpiPen. And so, this isn't like...
No. I didn't watch that part. Now I feel bad.
That part is the best fucking... Like, I was dying. Like, I was on board at that point because I'm like, oh, this is a guy for the fucking show. And then I kept watching it. And then that part at the end, he's got the giant button on his shirt that just says, "I have a peanut allergy." And that got me. I was, like, laughing. I was laughing really hard at that point. And so I was like, picked. This is a pick. And there it was. And it was, you know, there wasn't a lot of picks. We basically just one pick a day. I'd like to think that there are more than one great video that comes out a day. And I'm sure that there'll be more than we pick before the end of the week. But, you know,
picked a few. You picked the Peach Kings Be Around video from last week by Paul Trillo.
I did. And then that Basic Instinct that by The Acid just finally got an embed. It was a nowness embed for a week. And we've got time. Let's just air some grievances really quick. There was a Nabil video that came out this week for Nicki Minaj. It's a really good video. And fucking the world star hip hop has the exclusive embed. So there you go. That's my grievance. That's my weekly grievance.
World star hip hop. It's like a JW player install from like 2008.
With like a fake view count scribbled next to it in marker. Like they took the EpiPen from the front part of this music video to scribble the view count. It's like, this music video got a bajillion views. Here it is. And so, you know what we should do? Just like, you know, we just need to take a minute in every podcast going forward to just air our grievances specifically to World Star Hip Hop. We don't get to do other things.
I think they could be airing grievances of anything. Adam, do you have any grievances to air?
Oh, I could work on having one enough for next week, but okay. I'm pretty good right now.
Well, speaking of this week, did you have any favorites from this week that we haven't talked about yet?
We could talk about the Chelsea Wolf video that dropped. Actually, I don't know when it. Well, it came out late Sunday night, so I believe.
No, that's this week. That's this week. That's Friday, or that's
Monday. It is from this week. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we could talk about that one for sure. That was a really good one. That's was a video for Feral Love, and I was already. What's that?
I was going to say directed by Mark Pellington, who directed the Pearl Jam Jeremy video.
Yeah, he did. So I was already a fan of Chelsea Wolf, so I was familiar with her style of music and stuff, and she has some other pretty good music videos as well. So I was really excited for this new one to drop, and it suits her music very well. It's kind of a gothic style video, and it doesn't have like a clear narrative. It's just like assortment of shots of pretty creepy stuff. And one thing that I found was kind of interesting was that despite the dark imagery and all the scary stuff, almost the entire video is filmed during the daytime. And I thought it was kind of cool that they were able to shoot outside in daylight and still convey that really gothic dark imagery the way that they did. Did you guys like this video? I think Doug did for sure. Adam, did you watch it?
I did. Yeah, I like that. There's a shot of chemtrails. There's like three shots of chemtrails. For anybody who's not familiar, chemtrails are the lines in the sky that planes leave. That a lot of people, not a lot of people, but a certain subset of paranoid people believe are the way the government gets different sort of mind-altering substances into the general population. But anyway,
no, that's definitely true. That is how they do it.
So there's a lot of you're right. There's a lot of scary stuff because there's stuff that they have a weird mix of, yeah, because of like the daytime, it is kind of like reassuring, and there are some horror movies that have, you know, made use of the daytime in really effective ways, like this one. And there's a weird, kind of interesting mix of kind of images of things that are not, you know, inherently, you know, kind of disturbing or scary in themselves, next to, you know, these kind of like, you know, grotesque kind of things. Then mixed with Chelsea Wolfe, you know, there's like a sequence where it's like her hanging out, and there's like a wave, and then there's this, you know, super, you know, creepy shot of the twin girls, which maybe is a reference to the Shining or something.
It had a really 90s, like a grunge industrial feel to it too, that I really liked, almost like a Nine Inch Nails video that from back then.
Yeah, too. Yeah. Oh man, I do kind of miss those kind of Nine Inch Nails-ish videos, like what's that? Closer is the famous example of that, but they've had so many other ones. And you know, the genre of, you know, there are genres of music, there are genres of film, and you know, I think they kind of intersect in music videos in a way, just like you know, there's a whole genre of, you know, metal music, and they have their whole you know, whole kind of genre of music videos where they're kind of like horror music videos. I know Robbie Starbuck has done a bunch of those, and our friend Michael Q. Schmidt has appeared in a few of those.
Same like, and Phil Mucci too, and he actually came out with a music video this week that also is like just like over the top, violent, aggressive, like the metal music videos that he directs.
Yeah, it's sort of a, I'm trying to figure out the right word for it, but there is something like it's kind of like an interesting intersection of certain genres of music with certain kind of genres of music videos. And this is I think you could call it a genre of music video where there is like all these like kind of like random, not random shots, but you know, like all these shots around a certain theme, kind of a montage like that.
So cool. What are there other music videos? I like Fall in Love. Should we talk about that?
And Timothy Cicenti reminds me, like his videos kind of remind me of Michel Gondry's videos in a way where, like where Michel Gondry has more of like a handcrafted style to them, Timothy Cicenti is like unbelievable at using sort of like technology and using, you know, really interesting like projected or other kinds of, you know, more technological visuals to do something really creative with them. And this is like one of my favorite videos from him.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I feel like Fantagram fits right into that so well. Like they have kind of a, you know, like their style just really complements Timothy's very well, and I think it fits perfectly for this video. And yeah, I really like they almost like become part of these projections, especially near the back half of the video. Like they're these like shapes that are kind of like like almost kaleidoscope shapes, some of them that are projected on the wall, and they just really like I said, kind of become part of these projections. And I really, yeah, I think it works really well for me.
I'm waiting on, I was gonna play it, but I've got an advertisement. I don't want to see an advertisement.
Wait, you stink! I don't want your stinky advertisement.
And it's not one of those ones that you can skip through. It's one.
You gotta watch the whole 30 seconds.
No. I got like a 15-second one, and YouTube sometimes gives me really weird pre-roll ads. They give me like. I get a lot of North Carolina State lecture videos,
like hours long, right? Like
hours long, yeah. And you can of course, you know, stop 15 seconds or like 3 seconds into it. But you can...
I've had the same one running for about 3 weeks now, and it's this guy that comes up and tells you how to fix your broken relationship. And it's like a 25-minute long like. That's the only one I get now.
Wow.
What websites are you visiting?
Well, it's because he's making these heartbreak playlists on IMDb. They're like, well, this guy's sad. No, that's sad. Well, Adam's not sad.
Hey man, happy Valentine's Day.
So back to Fall in Love. I think that the one of the really interesting things about this video is that the idea of like just like projecting something onto people is one of the oldest in the last 10 years, is a very like well-worn concept. But it's often done, like, so terribly. It's often, like, you know, very clear that somebody's just got a projector and they're just throwing some shit on there. But this is, there's, like you said, Doug, there's definitely, like a, I don't even know if you said this. I'm just projecting onto you. There is, like, you know, they almost kind of become part of it. There is a very blurred line between, you know, the performers, the actual people, and then what is, you know what is projected onto them, like the but other videos have done it really well too, like the Hiro Murai's Hayley Williams and B.O.B. video for Airplanes does that affect quite nicely.
There's yeah, another definitely. One that just came out too that used it well. Shoot, it's a Villagers video. It came out either this week or last week. Do you know the one I mean, Doug?
Maybe.
Is it Occupy Your?
It's a dude sitting on a chair and he has his own face projected onto his face, and the projection will kind of, it'll turn off, and then he'll sing part of the verse, and then he closes his eyes and his face gets projected back on. And it's kind of an interesting effect. So that would be another example of it.
And then there was
it's Occupy Your Mind by Occupy Villagers, Your Mind directed by Alden Volney.
And then there was, gosh, I'm definitely not going to be able to say Philip's last name correctly, but he directed a video called Sweater by Willow, which was at South by Southwest last year, which also uses projection technology in a way that makes it look like it's a 3D world around the performer. Adam, do you remember this video? He's kind of like walking through what would be a blank set.
Yeah, that was
a really interesting city. It's like basically a video game that he walks through, but it's all projected. And yeah, at the end, everyone claps. And so
An interview with him?
Yeah, I did an interview with him.
Those are examples where it works out really well. I think there's also examples, we won't name them here, obviously, but like where it's like, just kind of looks like a college art project. I think that's like such a danger to fall into. But like, you know, Timothy Cicenti, they just has that touch that brings it to the next level for a lot of this stuff. And it's just perfectly done in this video. It's just unbelievable. There we go. This is a Vivo video as well. Hopefully this is not a draft. Every Vivo video I'm watching now, I'm gonna wonder, like, oh shit, am I watching the right one?
Is this right? Should I be watching this?
Especially if it's like one with like a low count where I'm like, fuck, I'm watching the wrong one and I have to watch this over and over again. They gotta get to 500k views or else I'm gonna just keep seeing the version with like the, you know, Final Cut Pro couldn't find this file.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's got 30 seconds of black at the end of it. And then, like, one little clip, like, at the very, very end that you just, like, forgot to delete. I'm going to talk to Tom about this video, so I'll make sure to get some clarification as well from him about this. There's a lot to talk about, obviously. I'm not going to just talk to him about Vivo issues, but that will be a thing we ask, and we'll get to the bottom of it.
If we're nothing else, we are investigators.
That's us.
Adam failed. Skype just told me I had a failed file transfer.
Oh, good.
And I haven't transferred anything in like a week. So whatever. That's Skype cool. for you. That's one of those wacky Skype problems. The last video that I think we should talk about. I don't even know if you guys want to talk about this one because it's so goofy, but I think it's topical. And that is the Russian Kiss video by Annie. You guys want to talk about this one?
Yeah, that also came out late last week, but it's worth talking about because the Adam put
rules here.
No, and Adam put it in his even though it's called This Week in Music Videos, but there are in this is a lawless space. and Adam put it in his honorable mentions last week. Adam Alexander put it in his honorable mentions in his weekly music video wrap up blog post that he releases every Sunday on the IMVDB blog. So yeah, let's talk about it. We justified it.
Because this is, of course, the time where Russia seems to have a lot of like musical protest. I don't even know if this any person is Russian, but obviously this is a response to the fact that Russia has very, you know, backwards and anti-gay laws, and the Winter Olympics are there now, and you know, I thought this was a interesting video because it's obviously like so topical, and I think people, because it's topical, people want to, you know, go out and share it around and you know, use it as something that they can kind of build a conversation around. But also, it's a really kind of messed up video.
Well, there are some moments where they like have the people looking directly into the camera and kind of like staying on them for a while, and I think that they're. And as far as I know, this is a video that's full of Russian people who are gay. And so, you know, by them looking directly into the camera and kind of like staying on them, it like, you know, because one of the things that they're basically doing in Russia is like denying the existence of homosexuals in places. And so, or the number of homosexuals in Russia. And so, you know, it puts a face and an existence to these people, in the video, in on top of that, them just making out. But
well, there is a great shot around 1:46 in the video where somebody is like backwards, like upside down crab walking.
Yeah, I just saw that.
There's a lot of like kind of like we ran out of ideas kind of shots in
this. Yeah, it's not a fantastic video. Like whatever, I agree with like what they're trying to do, and like, you know, even people who make music I don't like, if they want to make a positive message out of that music, I'm all for it. But like, I don't, you know, this music video didn't like blow me away. This isn't like it doesn't make the same impact on me as like Same Love does.
I have to just clear it out. I did list it as an honorable mention. I am pretty much a fan of this video. It doesn't have the vibrant aesthetic of a lot of other pop videos, but I mean the little dance sequences are good, and I definitely have to support the message for sure too. I'm a huge fan of Annie too, so I could be playing off a bit of a bias there, but I definitely back this video as a video and backing the message as well. I thought it was good.
Some great butt shots in this.
There are some good butt shots. I agree.
There's that girl who's like wearing like 8 pairs of underwear.
Yeah, that's weird. And like the one on the outside is a thong. I don't get that.
I guess you think that'd be the inside one. But hey, this is Russia. They do things different in Russia. You know, who are we to judge?
Right. Should we talk about the music video that premiered on Pornhub?
No, we're not talking about that.
Adam Alexander, did you watch this? Because you sent it to me and then I didn't watch it.
And then I did watch it.
And I'm like, why did I watch this video?
Well, I mean, I'm a fan of the artist of Zuzu, and he usually does some pretty provocative, groundbreaking videos, but he's never released one on a porn site, so that was definitely breaking new ground. And I didn't watch the whole thing, but basically the gist of it for anyone who may want to check it out is it's hardcore porn and cut with videos of cats playing with toys.
Mainly hairless cats or dripping wet cats, draw whatever conclusion from that as you may. And it is, and in this, it's also,
what?
A lot of gay porn, lots of gay porn, not just regular porn. It's a lot of gay porn too, which is not something that I've spent a lot of time watching. I was a little surprised by it. I mean, I can't say I don't have watched porn. I personally don't prefer the kind of porn that they were putting in this music video, and so it was surprising. The song is called Black Dick, I believe. So
yeah, you got her.
So like, it's
tell the kids.
It's right. And it premiered on Pornhub, so I don't know what I expected. I mean, sometimes music videos premiere on sites, and it doesn't make sense. So like, maybe it could have just been like dancing, but it wasn't. It was not. It premiered on the right place.
Now Doug can never run for office.
It's 100 minutes to have watched this music video.
No, it's because for all the attack ads against you are gonna be you talking about this video. It's like all your quotes taken out of context. Like,
oh right, they like
it was hardcore porn.
Right, that's it. Well, that's fine. I wasn't planning on running for office anyway. I do way too many hard drugs for that.
Yeah. You're not super into hard drugs. I know you like it. You do speedball once in a while, but
just once in a while. I mean, I'm not, you know, I guess if I just no, I'm not even going to use that joke. I'm not going to say that joke. Yeah, every once in a while I get into speedball, but I'm not like Belushi levels. So
that was a low blow. Things are kind of breaking apart here at the end, so I'm going to tie it up. This was a great podcast. It was a great week for music videos. We had Silly String. We had Michel Gondry. We had Mark Romanek. We had Timothy Cenci. We had all sorts of awesome stuff. We had, of course, Achy Breaky 2, which is going to be one that I think we're going to be scratching our heads about for a while. And if Ben Griffin and Damon Elliott, if you're listening to us right now, please send a letter to our P.O. box with explanations. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.